He's not there. But if you want to join us with that celebration of life funeral, it'll be here at the church at 1:30 on Saturday. And then after that, if you'd like to join people, they'll be at the Oak Bay Lawn Bowling Club, right? Following that. So we're going to join you, many of us, Permanel, as you remember your mom, your mother-in-law. And I know others have been through things lately, recently, and maybe you've also had a death close to you. We know in those cases we really need God's peace. We need hope. We need His joy. We need His love. All the Advent candles. And of course, we need Christ. We need His presence. As I talk about peace this morning, I'm hoping to give you some peace. Because I don't know about you, but I was driving around yesterday, and I was getting ready for a Christmas party, and I was not experiencing peace. I was so anxious. I really was. And there's no reason to be anxious. I think I just do it. I just get anxious because probably there's something I'm forgetting. And certainly there was. But it was fine, actually. We were okay without the corn, apparently. So that's all good. I just had to relax a little bit. I'm bugging everybody else, too. Calling Laura, my daughter, calling Patty. And, oh, what about this? What about this? Leaving kind of grumpy, as Becca said, for this party that I have, setting up a party. By the way, I think you covered the sermon, so maybe we should just pray now and do that. That was so good. I'm a pastor's kid, too. We never did that. We were so happy going to church. But yeah, like everybody here, right? Joy, joy, joy. Peace, peace, peace. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's all good. But what I'm going to give you this morning, I hope will bring some peace. Because when I was driving around, as I said, and I was anxious, I was basically saying to myself, what is peace? What does it really look like? And so I was kind of picturing some things. You know, a lot of people take a picture like this, right? The whole symbol of peace, peace. You know, that idea. Or you see some people, they'll take some time, let's light a candle, and they'll kind of find a quiet place, and they'll sit with the candle. Or at a fireplace, or maybe outside if you happen to have a fire that you can sit at, propane, of course, and get peaceful. Or, you know, assume the pose. Now, I don't know if I can assume the pose, but, you know, the youth group always likes to make fun of that pose, right? And away you go. And you find your peace, your quiet place. You center yourself. But to be honest, those things are nice. Those moments are nice. But the time we find God's peace, I think, which is most spectacular, is in the midst of life, right? When we're just doing stuff and we're so stressed out and God somehow gets our attention and he gives us something in our hearts, in our souls, that changes us a little bit. And we can't always put our finger on it, what it was, although sometimes it's even something real. He provides something for us, a gift of some sort, that somehow reminds us that, yeah, he wants to take care of me. He wants to be with me. Or maybe something really bad happens. But through that, somehow the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, come on. I'm with you. I want to walk with you. Jesus came down. So we're going to look at John 1 this morning. And before I read it, I just want to pray with you. But John 1 is such an amazing passage. And we'll jump into it in just a moment. But let's just open our hearts in prayer and ask God for his peace this morning. And that you'd be able to still your mind and your heart and discover the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you this morning for the fact that you are with us. You promised to come down. And we think about that at Christmas, of course, you coming to be with us and actually coming in flesh. Thank you for that. So I've asked this morning that you would do that this morning. We'd experience you maybe through each other or in something that you would do right within us. So please do that. And God, we just want to remind you that it is our desire, it's our heart's desire to bring glory to you. We want to do that by becoming spirit empowered. Please give us your spirit by becoming Christ-like. Give us your mind. And by making you known among us, around us, and beyond us, help us to do that and give us your strength to do it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to take all your stuff. So if you get lost in the next song, my apologies. This morning's going to be fun because we get to do communion as well. We get to remember Christ not only coming as a baby, but shortly after that in his life, dying for us. So John 1 says in verse 1, and some people get confused by this, at least I used to. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, of everybody. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Skipping down to verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world. He was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. We've all been there. We're so busy doing our own thing, we don't even see him. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And in verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Awesome passage. It's so powerful, really. It's amazing. And it's all the Christmas story is what it is. It really is, if you read this. However, back in the day, when the Jews and the Greek read this passage, they read it a little differently. So they read, in the beginning was the Logos, right? And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. He, giving it person, was with God in the beginning. Okay, so the Jewish people, they went back to creation when they thought of Logos, and they thought of a word that was creative, that was powerful, that was active, that was bringing life, in fact. And so when God said something, he created mountains. He created people. He gave breath to us, our very breath. So they thought about that. So Logos was like that. It was very creative. It was powerful. It was almighty. It was God. The Greeks, a little more philosophical. They like to philosophize, right? And they like to go into those things and kind of figure things out, understand things, kind of make order to chaos. And so when they thought of Logos, they were thinking more of the mind of Christ, how the mind of Christ could bring some order to the world, could come and make some sense of this chaos. They like to ask questions about it and figure out how that could be. So Logos was, well, the meaning of life. Okay? So we have, when they would read it, they say, in the beginning was the meaning of life. In the beginning was Almighty God, creative, powerful, innovative, life-giving. And the meaning of life, this creativity, this power, was with God. As a matter of fact, this meaning of life was God. And through him, all things were made. It's creative. He's powerful. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was light for all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it because it's the all-powerful God, right? He created all things back in the beginning, and he continues to be innovative, creative, making new life even now. And he makes order to our chaos. You guys living in chaos? I live in chaos. We all live in chaos, right? We cannot control as much as we try to control the chaos. We can't. But God does. This is my gift of peace to you. This is what he does for us. Let that God, that Logos, let that word come into your life this Christmas. We talked about having hope last week. This week, if there's any way of having peace, it's knowing that at least somebody controls this mess. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Someone's in control of it. And it's not a crutch, people. It's not a crutch. It's reality. It's the truth. It actually is the fact that God, Almighty God, is in control of all things. And I'm just going to share three things with you from this passage. One is, I believe that God wants to make himself known. It is our But I believe it's his desire to make himself known. Also, he wants to draw near to us, and then he wants to give us a gift. And this morning we're going to call it peace. But obviously it's Jesus, right? The greatest gift of all. In John, I love John. I was telling the youth group last night, some of them, the students there, that this book of John basically centers around John 3:16, wouldn't you say? So if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say that, John 3:16 is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." You may have a different translation. "That whoever believes..." Oh, sorry. "That whoever what? Believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." Whoever believes in him. John centers on believing. And that's what he's doing here too. And he's trying to give you a little taste of who this God is. But are you willing to accept that? Think about that as we go through the three things. First of all, that he wants to be known. Secondly, that he wants to draw near to us. And thirdly, that he has a gift for you. All right. That he wants to make himself known. Okay, so he does want to make himself known. We have the Bible, and we can read that, and we talk to each other. And so we find ourselves studying that. We're trying to figure out who God is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we end up studying. We almost turn up like these Greek people. Study. And let's philosophize. Let's ask some critical questions. And let's figure out who he is. How's this all going to work out? Who is God? Awesome questions. And we go through all of this stuff, and we figure it all out. But ultimately, have we really gotten to know God? So how do you think we would get to know God, other than studying? Anybody have an idea? You know, one of the things I was going to do to show an example of peace was to say one of the ways that when I picture peace, it's kind of like somebody, Steve's one of my friends, if I had Steve with me and I was going through a hard time and he came over to me and he just gave me a hug, to me that would be peace. And I know you don't like hugs a lot, but that would be peace, right? Might not be peace for him, might be chaos, but for me, it would bring peace. So you all have to think about peace in a different way. And so God tailors it for you also. But if we just study it, and we just analyze it, and we theorize what it is, we don't really embrace it and come to know it. It's kind of like, well, I think all of us are interested. If we're married, at one point we were interested in being married, so we were interested in dating, and I was, of course. But when you were thinking about this, and you were starting to fall in love with someone, did you study them? I guess you did. But did you watch them? And did you figure out how they spend their money? Did you learn their name in the Greek and the Hebrew and what it means? And did you go and watch how they spend their money? And then did you kind of watch how they interact with people? And then you find, oh, I think that's good. I believe I would like to love you. And also, I would like to marry you. And so I choose to. No, you didn't do that. I mean, you did that, but you did so much more, right? Come on. You did so much more. You want to experience that person. You want to get to know them. You played some games with them. You did whatever. You did all sorts of stuff. Had fun. You joked around. Probably pranks. Whatever. All sorts of stuff, depending on your relationship, what you're like. Relationship is not studying only. It's getting to know. Well, Francis Chan put it in a really good way. Francis Chan had this analogy where if you go to this fancy restaurant, gourmet restaurant, you sit down. I struggle so much in these restaurants, but you sit down not just with the check, but also with the actual words. So I sit down, and that's your fault. If you would be giving more, I'd be good. I'm just kidding. So anyhow, kind of. All right, so anyhow, I'm totally distracted now. You sit down with the menu, and you look at it, and you read it. Oh, this is awesome, but what does that mean? And so you're asking the guy, what does this mean? Or I ask my wife, obviously, what does this mean, Patty? And she explains it to me, and I still don't understand, but I just have her order for me, and I study it, and I figure it all out. But let's just say I do all that, close it up, and I walk out, and I testify to it. Wow, what a menu. It was awesome. You should have seen the stuff they had. It was great, but I never tasted it. And so I go to the creator of the menu and I say, wow, nice menu. He said, oh, thank you. Did you have any? No. Well, taste it. Yeah. The menu is just an introduction. Do you hear what I'm saying?
That's a good word.
Taste it. This is God's word. Now taste and see that it is good. Right? Let's experience God. Let's get to know him because he wants to be known. But we're just dabbling in it. Right? We're just kind of studying it. Not good enough. We actually got to taste it and see it. And so it's messy then, right? We got to get out there and do something and get to know him. All right. And as we're tasting and seeing, we're going to discover that not only does he want to make himself known, but he wants to draw near. Now, this is where it gets a little uncomfortable. Because, let's face it, we live in a culture where, yeah, we like to be with people. We come to church to see you, but please don't come to my house, right? So, if someone... Yeah, let's just put yourself in this picture. And I do this all the time. I'm even like this with my phone. I get stressed about this. But anyhow, let's just say you're sitting at your house, ding dong, or knock knock, or whatever your way of hailing you is. And you're like, oh my gosh, who's at the door? What's going on? What am I, what? There's someone coming down the side. There's more than one. And you come to, and you're all anxious. You're in a bit of a fit. I should have known about this. Why are they coming? You open the door. Oh, hi, Mom. And it's like, Mom, you should have told me you were coming. You know, it's like, we're so stressed, right? We're so anxious. So God wants to be known. He wants to draw near. And as a matter of fact, he put on flesh to draw near. But we're not ready for him. We don't even want him to come into our heart. Why? Because where we live is discouragement. Where we live is anxiety. Where we live is sin. Where we live is addiction. And you just fill in the blank. Where do you live? And so we're not really comfortable that God might come to our house, to our neighborhood. Because I don't know if you read the Message version of that verse that I read, where Jesus became flesh, but he said, when Jesus became flesh, he came down to my neighborhood. Interesting, right? Who's coming to your neighborhood today? We don't even want people to come to our door. Imagine if God comes to our door. But I want to tell you something. I got a word for you. Ooh, get a little bit choked up here. When God comes to our door, he actually comes with a gift. And he comes locked, loaded, and ready with gifts of love and forgiveness and hope. Well, let's go through it. Hope, peace, joy, love. Well, Jesus Christ. He comes with Christ. He comes prepared with victory. Right? He already has it for us. But we're too hidden behind our door to even know that. So let's let him draw near like he wants to. He came down in the flesh to our neighborhood. And yet we don't let him in. Can you open a door a little bit this Christmas a little more? And let's let him make a change in our hearts and our lives so that we can move out a little more. And then maybe we'll be a little less stressed when someone comes actually to our door, because we haven't quite cleaned up. We're not ready for it. By the way, it's a little easier for me to clean up these days because I don't have any kids at home. It's awesome. Little aside there. But God wants to move on our hearts in a different way. So he wants to, first of all, make himself known, not just by studying. He wants to draw near, and he's going to come to your door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But the last one is he has the gift, and I talked about the gifts that he brings. It's gifts with strings attached in a way, but not really. But it's gifts, I guess, the only string I see is that you actually have to receive it. You know, have you seen the latest sort of thing that's kind of going on with parties, Christmas parties? By the way, how's your Christmas party coming? Is it all planned? You got some friends coming over? So we did our 55-plus party. That was fun. We had it all decorated. We did our youth party last night. That was awesome. Photo booth and all. And if you want to go downstairs, we have our gingerbread houses that are pretty sweet, so check them out. But when people have parties these days, they kind of take it to another level. We want to invite people, right? But I've heard this one party where someone was going to invite a group of people, so they went way off the top, way beyond what I could ever imagine, and they bought iPads, wrapped them up, and everybody got an iPad. You wish you were my friend and I had that, right? Who is that guy? I want to be his friend. Anyhow, he sent iPads to them, and when they opened it up, it was him talking on the iPad saying, well, come to my door, come to my party, this is where it is, this is what we're going to have, and he invited them to the party. So, get this, the gift was the invitation. Got it? God's gifts are just invitations. You got to receive them. And then you got to go to the party. It's pretty amazing, right? So God gives you peace. It's just an invitation. Do you want it? Let's go get it. I mean, seriously, I had no idea. I was really wondering, do this when you're really anxious. Try to think about what peace might look like. I couldn't even figure it out. I said, God, what is peace going to look like? Because I'm so stressed, I can't even think about my name. And believe me, I know how to do this stuff. I get really whacked out. I totally do. One of my stresses, and I'll share it with you because it's one I've shared with many people. You're going to love my notes, but these are my notes, right? They look like this. They're just crazy. Picture into a beautiful mind, I guess. There it is right there. And when I go to do my message, I have to be careful how I do it because if I look down too much, and you'll notice this, if I look at my notes too much, I'm solid gone. Maybe it's just because I can't multitask, I don't know. But I look down and I can't do it. I cannot put it together. It's like garbage to me. I write it, and it's in the writing that gives me freedom to say something. But outside of that, that's about it. And then I'll sit down later and try to figure it out. But so I know what it's like to live in that kind of stress, where I could look on a page and not see anything. And then I'll actually get stressed, particularly if I'm not prepared. But God will then give me something different. He'll give me a peace that I can walk in. And the peace doesn't necessarily make my message any better, but it just lets me know he's with me. And then I can go forward. See, we have a God, it says, who was in the beginning. This word was there. He was with God. He was God. And then he came down in flesh to our neighborhood. And he has this gift that he just wants to give to us. So this morning I plead with you, can you just receive it? No one could outdo his invitation, right? Not only did he send his son to live for us, he sent his son to die for us. And we're going to remember communion at this time. And that is an invitation also, a gift that he gave to us. And if you haven't received it and you would like to, please talk to us. I'm not referring to communion now. I'm referring to Jesus and the life-giving change that he can make in your life. And if you have done that and you're just not sure where you're at with that, again, you maybe need to pray and just talk about that. So come on up to the front after the service. We'll have some time. And let's pray a little bit, because it's an invitation, but you got to receive it. You need to receive it. And it's a gift that's huge, right? It's not just a little iPad, as much as we think that's big. It's way more than that. It's, oh yeah, the Almighty God, the Creator, the Innovator, the Life Giver, the meaning of life, all of that and so much more. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your message that gives us something to study. But now I pray that you would move us to different levels of that we would experience you and enjoy that experience, let you fulfill the things that you long to do in our hearts. So we receive those gifts, and I pray that as we go to communion now, that we, as we remember you and your death for us, that your spirit would speak to us through that, and it would be a community, sort of a family thing that we could do together to remember. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So the gift God gave us obviously was just sacrificing his son for us. And as he came on the cross and was crucified by a bunch of us sinners so that he could save us. Wow. So this is what we remember this morning. And they used the bread as a symbol of his body being broken. And so as I break it, it just symbolizes that. It's nice to have it very, something that we can see, taste and see, and touch. So as we go through this, we call it almost a ceremony, but really as we go through this experience, allow Jesus to bring to your heart and mind what he's done for us through his Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give one to Norm here. And what we do in this part of the service is we're going to have some gluten-free option, and I don't know if we brought both. Oh, there we go. Gluten-free option, also bread. What we'll do is you'll come by, and I'll be holding the bread. You can rip a piece of bread off and then dip it into the juice, which represents Christ's blood, and then partake of it right here, and then go back to your seat. So if you feel free to do that, we'll just come down the middle, one side, and then we'll go back to our seats, all right? But why don't we pray, first of all, and thank him for what he's done letting his body be broken, his blood shed, and let's remember as we take them that it does represent God's gift to us that gives us new life. It says that his blood can wash away our sins. It says that through his blood and his broken body, we can receive healing, right? Amen. Even here, right now. We also know that it's ultimate healing, so that like when Prim passed away, she's with God, all fully healed, right? Completely healed. where she is with God now. So as we come and partake of this, let's keep those things in mind, and let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning that we can take of communion and that you can let us actually taste something, eat it, touch it, dip it, and sense something real going into us. And I pray that as that happens, God, your Holy Spirit would speak to us too and remind us. Jesus, thank you that you've done this for us. Thank you for this gift that's actually an invitation to your party. In Jesus' name, amen.